You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the Kid Counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, I am answering a listener question from Beth in Maryland, and she is curious about when kids use toys to make themselves sound louder. So I'll actually dive into that in just a moment. I think there's a lot of clinical implications for play like that. So I'm glad, Beth, that you emailed in. And before I dive into that, I have a state of the CCPT world address. I don't know. I want to celebrate something with you. It's a huge milestone. For those of you in the collective, you probably saw that we posted about it. But for those of you who have not joined the collective and you are just one of my listeners, I wanted to celebrate something huge. Last week, we hit the 300,000 download mark for the Play Therapy Podcast. So in only 170 or so episodes, we have 300,000 plus downloads all over the world. So a huge thank you to every single one of you. That tells me that you all not only binge listen, which means you listen to every single episode, but it also means that you all are so highly invested and so highly committed in this model and in this career. And thank you for trusting me and allowing me to be a part of your training and your progress in this field. I was so blown away that we hit the 300,000 downloads. So huge thank you to each and every one of you. You know how deeply I appreciate you. I can't do what I do if you all don't want to hear it. So thank you for taking me with you wherever you go throughout the week and listening to every episode faithfully. I actually need to tell you another sweet story. One of my participants in the coaching program, because we were on vacation a couple weeks back, we didn't get the podcast out on Tuesday and Thursday. And many of you are probably like furiously nodding your head right now. Like, yes, I know. You all are so committed and so invested in the Tuesday and Thursday episode release. She said, Brenna, I was actually worried about you. Like, I almost reached out and asked if you were okay, because when the Tuesday podcast didn't drop, I was like, oh no, she always puts a podcast out. And it was just so kind and thoughtful. And so thank you that you all are so invested and committed to this podcast. It's really such an honor to do this, to put CCPT out into the world and have people care and soak it up and invest in becoming the best child-centered play therapist that you can be. So huge hug. Thank you all so much. I'm literally virtually hugging you right now. And I'm really grateful to you all. So hope you feel and sense that, because it's true. All right. So let's get back to Beth's question. So her question is, can you talk a little bit about when kids use microphones, instrument toys, noises, and toys that allow them to copy sounds and words in session? It seems like they want to be heard. Can you possibly elaborate? So it's so fascinating to watch a child use things in the play session that allow them to magnify their voices. So it sounds like, Beth, what you're describing, a microphone, instruments, noise-making toys, etc., that is a very unique subset of toys within the categories in the playroom. And my first thought is that kids, when they do that, it's a means to an end for control. So what I mean by that is often when kids, for example, we have megaphones. You mentioned microphones, but at my center, we have megaphones. And we often see that they will yell into the megaphone. We also have, it's technically for the cheerleading outfit, but it's one of those cone-shaped things that the cheerleaders use. I don't even know what you call that, but the cone-shaped thing that cheerleaders yell into to magnify themselves. So we have megaphones, we have that cone-shaped thing, we have toys that they will often use as microphones, and then instruments that allow them to be very loud as well. Kazoos, harmonicas, little trumpet type of things, recorders, etc. So when you think about their desire for power and for dominance, you can see why they would use those, because it gives them a feeling of control over you and or the playroom. So often it's associated with power and control because they're actually dominating the session with making themselves as loud as possible. And you'll usually see that in kids that are either highly dysregulated or kids that are really needing to exert that big level of power and control. So that's one thought that I had. The second is, I often see it as well in children who really relish the freedom that a playroom affords them. And what I mean by that is, where else can a child be that loud? Where else can a child yell at the top of their lungs? Where else can a child say things and have it magnified to sound even louder? They don't really have any environment like that. So the playroom gives them that freedom, and many times there's almost wonder and awe, if you will, when the child is like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I can be this loud. Sometimes they even hesitate to continue. So they go really loud with something. They yell, they scream, they talk into the megaphone, they do something like that. And then they look at you for a reaction is usually what happens. And then second of all, they'll comment on how loud it was. Like, oh my gosh, that was so loud. And then you can see them weighing whether or not they want to do it again. And sometimes they will choose not to because they stop themselves because they don't feel ready, willing, or able to really be that uninhibited. But sometimes it's like, oh, well, you didn't seem to care, so here we go. And then it's even louder the second time. I've had kids plug their own ears because they were so loud, but they continued to do it. So they didn't even like how loud they were, but they needed that outlet because there's freedom that they don't get in other environments. So I think that's a second consideration. And then the third is, I've noticed that they will often do it for emphasis in their play. So for example, they will yell into the megaphone or yell into the microphone or use the kazoo very loudly, the whistle very loudly, the harmonica very loudly, and it's almost always wrapped up in some kind of alert or announcement of danger or peril, or they're ordering people to do something because of what's going to happen in their play. So many times kids will say, danger, danger, or there's a fire, or evacuate, evacuate, or take cover. So you can see how when you need to make a really big announcement in your play, you would want your voice to be as loud as possible to reach the most ears. So often they will use those types of toys when they're really trying to emphasize whatever it is that needs to be said. So if they are really angry at one of the characters in their play and they want to yell at them, if there's any kind of peril, danger, concern, they will use it in that capacity. They will use it to order around, like if they are the army general, for example, they will use it to order around their soldiers because they really want to make sure that everyone understands the expectations. So I think there are multiple reasons why children do it, but in all of those scenarios, there's so much significance there. Because whether it's for power and control, whether it's because of the freedom, or whether it's for emphasis, they're not able to do that really in any other context in their lives. So the playroom, once again, remember, we go back to, it's predicated on the power of the relationship and the special, unique environment. So that special, unique environment allows them to do things that they know is unique and not something that they are allowed to do otherwise. So when their play warrants it, they're able to take advantage of those toys, which is why we have them in there for that very reason. Because often kids are silent in their play. And we know that when they choose to be silent, there's reason for that as well. When they choose to be loud, there's reason for that. So Beth, thank you so much for the email. I hope that you all find that helpful. And next time your kids are using a toy in one of those contexts, I hope you can whittle it down and determine what you think is driving that behavior, because as always, the why matters, right? All right, y'all. If you want to reach out to me, I'd love to hear from you, Brenna@thekidcounselor.com. And if you are interested at all in upcoming trainings and or on-demand trainings that I've already done, please visit childcenteredtraining.com. And that will give you access to all of the CoreWell courses that I've completed. We are actively working to launch at the end of the summer or maybe early September, a complete program in facilitating CPRT with CoreWell. So if you have any desire whatsoever to offer CPRT, child-parent relationship training, as a service in your practice, in your work with children and their families, we're going to create a 15 to 20 hour comprehensive course that will train you to facilitate those groups, train you to offer that curriculum to parents. And you, on the end of completing all of those CEU hours, not only do you get credit for either RPT or just for your licensure CEUs, but you will also get a certification through CoreWell that you have been comprehensively trained to offer CPRT. So I'm super excited about that. We've been putting that together the last few months and we're kind of getting ready to wrap that up. So looking forward to offering that to you all as well. But childcenteredtraining.com is where you can get access to the pre-recorded on-demand courses that are already complete there. We're going to have some new ones in the fall as well, new ones in 2025. So hang on, y'all. I'm trying to give you as much credit for CCPT and CPRT training as possible because I know CEUs are important. So we're doing what we can from our end to make sure that CoreWell is able to get you credit for that stuff. All right. Love y'all so much. Have a great week. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.